a better world is to come and tell you why. There's a better world is to come and tell you why. We will beat 'em on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world is to come and tell you why. There's a better world is to come and don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free, there's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see?
Good evening. This is Nikki Royce. You are with the Progressive News Network. We have a very good show tonight. We have Women of Action, and they are going to tell your stories about what they've done to make this state and this country a better place. But before we do that, I want to welcome Chen, I can't pronounce his name, Kwao. He is the he's the Chinese woman's rights, human rights advocate who now is safely in the USA. And I am sorry. Anyway, he's the blind self-taught lawyer who stood up to the Chinese government policy and practice. And so he is with us now in the United States, so we want to welcome him to our democracy, such as it is, and hope that he can encourage a lot of other people in his country and up around the world with his brave actions. I mean, let's think about it. The man was a lawyer. He taught himself how to be a lawyer, and he's blind. And he escaped house arrest. So he was a woman's rights activist. He was a human rights activist, but certainly for women, he revealed forced abortions and sterilizations. And of course, the Chinese government didn't like it very much, so we want to welcome him to the United States. And we also want to let people know that Hands Across the Sand is going to happen August 4th, and basically that's to protect and not to protest, as they say, no to offshore drilling and yes to clean energy. And it has a host of sponsors, but if you can't find one like the Sierra Club or Surf Rider Foundation or Oceana in your part of the state, you can have your own Hands Across the Sand. You can go to www.handsacrossthesand.com for the host form and instructions on what to do. It's pretty simple. Once again, that's www.handsacrossthesand.com. And I think I have Fran. Are you there?
Yes.
Hey, Fran. Welcome.
How are you?
Welcome. Fran is the president of the board of EMA, and I would love it if you would tell us what that is.
Sure. EMA stands for Emergency Medical Assistance, or as we affectionately call it, EMA. And EMA has been around now for over 35 years. We are a very small nonprofit, and we have a very simple mission. Our mission is to raise money and give it away, basically support women who cannot afford the full price to have an abortion. And that's all we do. We raise money and we give it away. And our target market is very targeted. It's impoverished, poor women. We're located in Palm Beach County in Florida. We help primarily women in Palm Beach County, but we also reach out. We reach north into Martin, St. Lucie, into Okeechobee. We go down into Broward and Dade a little bit. But and so, as I've said, we've been around for over 35 years. We were started, some of your listeners might know Harriet Glassner, who was quite a force to be reckoned with in Palm Beach County. And she started most of the social services organizations in Palm Beach County. And she saw a need, right as Roe v. Wade was being passed, she saw a need to help women. She worked. She also started the Planned Parenthood group down in our area. And she saw people coming in that were already pregnant and needed help and couldn't afford an abortion. And she personally sold a piece of her jewelry and started funding this. And as the years went on, it transitioned, and we now have a wonderful all-volunteer board of directors. We have no paid staff, and everyone that works with us is just terrific. And I can go on and on. So I don't know if you have any questions. I'll stop and see if you have anything in specific you wanted to ask.
Well, the first question that came into my mind is, okay, you raise money and you give it away.
Yes.
And you have a one purpose. So that's the fundamental difference between you and the Planned Parenthood. They do many things, you do one.
Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood is, we're good friends with them, and we work with them, and they, you know, it's almost the opposite, where they like to talk about how abortion for them is sort of, obviously they support it, it's kind of a side thing almost, for us, that, you know, that's all we fund. You know, they are much bigger than we are, and they're fantastic at the education, at birth control. And we have decided, because it's something we've thought about as a board, but we've just decided, you know, we're small, we're going to stay focused. You know, nobody else does what we do in our area. So let's stay focused on what we know and what we do, and make sure that the women that need the help are getting the help that they need from us.
So are there other Emmas, or are you it?
It's funny you ask that. There's one other organization called Emma, but it stands for something else. But there are other funds like ours. There's about 100 funds like ours across the nation,
mm-hmm.
and we join together with an umbrella organization called the National Network of Abortion Funds, and they work as an organizing force for us. They help us with education for our own selves. They help us in learning new ways to fundraise. They also raise funds, so they also disperse funds. But there are other funds like us. In fact, in Florida, there are several other funds, and we work together. So if we have a really big case, if we have somebody that's very late term, if the procedure is particularly expensive, we will work together to help raise funds for that woman.
So you raise funds case by case?
No, we raise funds in general, but when it's a really large case, we will raise funds for a particularly large case sort of almost separately because, I mean, typically when we fund a cost, just to give some background, a cost for a sort of a standard first-term abortion is anywhere from $400 to $500. But then, so that's standard, there's no issues, there's no problems. But then if the woman has any type of health issue, if she's grossly overweight, if she has high blood pressure, if she has any kind of gynecological problems, and then as the weeks progress, so as you get past your first trimester, every week the price goes up much more. It's not just an extra $100 a week, it goes up exponentially. And so when, you know, the price can go up into the $2,000-$3,000 range. In fact, we just had a case just 2 weeks ago, actually, where it was a $3,000 procedure. You know, something like that for us, you know, that could be our whole month. Mm-hmm. And to help one woman with that amount of money means that there's other women we might not be able to help. So that's when we do look outside our normal funding and try to get help from other organizations to help us with that.
Mm-hmm. I had a question. I should have written it down. It went way or not the other.
I can just keep talking. There's lots to talk about.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
This is a question that Rick always asks people, and early on in the interview process, and that is, you're the president of the board. You've been the president since 2008, but at what point do you decide that you were going to be an activist rather than just being a businesswoman?
Sure. That's a great question, and it's a story I really like to tell, and because I think it's really important. I've always supported reproductive rights, and I wrote checks. I wrote checks to Planned Parenthood. I wrote checks to NARAL, and I never really became that involved. And in late 2006, I guess it was, I got pregnant, and I wanted to get pregnant. You know, I'm happily married, and we planned on this pregnancy. and I'm a little bit older, so we did genetic testing and found out that we had a severe fetal anomaly. It was one of the trisomies that Rick Santorum likes to talk about a lot, but it was even worse. And we were advised by our doctor, and we went to see a geneticist, and we were advised by the geneticist that it was just going to be bad, very, very bad, and that we should terminate the pregnancy. And not long after is when I became an activist, because what happened with me was I live in Palm Beach County, it's a pretty nice area, and I go to a very good group, gynecological group. Well, in this group of three doctors, only one would do an abortion procedure, and he was going on vacation the next day. So that took them out, and he said, okay, well, I'm going on vacation, but you need to have this done immediately, because I was getting very close to getting out of my first trimester.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I'm going to send you down. There's a clinic in West Palm Beach. And, I heard the word clinic. I'm like, clinic? And I was terrified. This is a very stressful situation to begin with, very traumatic, the whole thing. And, you're sending me to some clinic in West Palm Beach off of 45th Street, and I was freaking out. And so I went to the clinic. Well, it turns out, sort of the happy ending to this miserable story, that the clinic was wonderful. And I'll give them a little plug on the air. It's Presidential Women's Center, and it's owned by someone who's become a very good friend of mine and a mentor of mine, Mona Reese. And, if one could have a good experience having an abortion, I had a good experience having an abortion. The staff was fantastic. The facilities were wonderful. And so I had an abortion there, and it just opened up my eyes. It made me realize that, here I am. I'm an educated woman. I have the support of my husband and my family. I have the financial means that, I have to take the day off, to go and to get this done and to pay for it. And, it's all cash out of pocket. You have to pay for this. And I just started thinking, what would happen if I didn't have all that? And I went and met with Mona, because I thought they did such a great job, I wanted to volunteer with them. And she said, who really needs help is this group called Emma. And that's how I became involved. So I consider that one of the positive outcomes of having this abortion is that I met Emma, and I became involved with Emma. And I became involved as a board member, and not long after I became involved, it was about a year, our president at the time, Joanne Wirtz-Ryan, who's phenomenal, moved. She had a family situation, and she had to move. And I became president. And because of that, I've become even more of an activist, because I just believe so strongly in what we're doing, and I believe so much that there are so many women that don't have the advantages that I have, but that need the procedure just the way that, for whatever reason it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a fetal anomaly, whether it's they can't afford it, there's so many different reasons, and none of them is better than the other. But an awful lot of them don't have the support of family members. They don't have a good doctor. They don't have the money. And most of them have none of those. So it's just mind-boggling to me when I think about it. And we talk to these women, and we get their stories, and it's heartbreaking. And so the more that I get involved, and the more that I want to do, and the more that I want to help, and the more that I want to tell my story, because I think it's so important. Abortion has become, it's probably always been, it's just a dirty word, it's the A word, and it can't be, and people have to talk about it. One in three women, by the time they turn 45, has had an abortion.
Wow.
That is a proven statistic. It's not something I'm making up. It's not something I'm pulling out of the air. One in three women. That's a crazy statistic. So if you think about it, and you think about your group of friends, and you think about your sister and your mother and their friend, think about how many of those women have had an abortion, obviously myself included, but then how many people talk about it? And most people don't. Most women don't, because there's such a stigma. And if we could all come out and talk about it, well, then there goes the stigma. So that is
how you got involved. That's how you got involved. Wow. Well, it's nothing like personal experience.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously, your organization provides me so that those abortions are safe and done by
absolutely. We
a
only,
competent
we only,
doctor.
Right. We only fund through certain clinics. We have certain clinics that we have relationships with. And again, you know, I had mentioned that national organization. There's another organization that is the I'm blanking right now. The abbreviation is NAF, National Abortion Providers Fund. Sorry, I'm losing what it is exactly. But there's an organization. They certify clinics, and they have very exacting standards that the clinics have to meet. So we use that as a screening. So we make sure that any clinic that we fund has met those standards. Plus, we go to the clinics, we meet with the providers, we look at the clinics, and there's really only a very small handful of clinics that we actively work with. And so we make sure that there is that quality there. Because there are some that aren't good. You know, you read about it in the newspaper, unfortunately. But we make sure that that's who we fund. And the other thing is we give the money directly to the clinic. The patient doesn't touch the money. So that there's no issue of the money going awry. So the money goes directly to the clinic. And the other thing that we do is we make sure that the women that we help pay something towards the procedure. Even if it's only $25, $50, we want to make sure that they realize that they have a responsibility to do whatever they have to do to raise money, that we're there to help. We're there to make up the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're there for them. But that they need to get some money somehow.
Wow. Very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
So now, what do you have a website, or how
do
these women
we
find?
We do. In fact, anybody that's listening, get out a pen and paper. I'll wait a few seconds for you to do that, because I do want you to find the website, because there's so much. I'm just looking at the clock, and I'm realizing we're quickly running out of time. Our website is EMA, so Emma, EMA, and then WPB for West Palm Beach. So EMA, WPE, WPB, as in boy, .org. And if you go on that website, there's several things you can do. One, you can learn more about our organization. Two, you can read some of the stories of the women that we help. I can't do them justice. What we have done, we ask them to write us a note after the procedure, you know, before, during, after the procedure, explaining how the money is helping them. And there are some notes, and we publish the notes anonymously, of course. We ask for the
mm-hmm.
permission and publish them anonymously. But some of these stories, like I was saying before, they're so unbelievable. And particularly of late with the economic downturn, I can tell you that in the past 3 years, we have funded triple our normal number. You know, we've been around for over 35 years. We have statistics that we have access to for about 10 years now. So in the prior 7 years, we funded on average about anywhere from 100 to 125 women a year. In the past 3 years, we funded around 300. And we would
mm-hmm.
fund more if we had more money. You know, if we weren't limited by our funds, I can promise you we would wind up funding more. So you can see that the demand has gone up. And when you read these stories that are on our website, which again is emawpb.org, if you read these stories, you can see that for so many of these women, they already have children, a lot of them are married, and they can't afford another pregnancy. They can't afford to take care of the child. They can't afford to take time off of work. They can't afford the health care issues that entails. And it's so, so sad. And it's a real indictment on our society and really on our whole political process of everything that's going on. And that's a whole other topic. But it is interesting. So I would encourage people to look at those stories. And the other thing I would encourage people to do is donate money. There's a link on there where you can hit donate now, and you can donate to us because we need every dollar we can get, even if it's only a few dollars. You know, everything we get, like I said, we're an all-volunteer organization. We're very frugal in how we spend our money. We really try to spend every dollar we can towards helping these women.
That's terrific.
Thank you.
So how many women did you said 300?
We help, yeah, we on average for the past few years, we've been helping about 300 women a year. And like I said, my estimate is we'd probably get that up to about 400 if we had more money to offer. You know, one of the sad things, and we can't prove this, we will often have a woman come to us looking for help, and we're limited in how much we can give. We've capped that amount just so that we made a decision as a board to help more women with lower dollars amounts. Certain people, when they hear how much we can give them, they don't call us back. And our concern is that they're opting to have the child. You know, if you can't afford to raise a couple hundred dollars for an abortion procedure, how can you afford to raise that child?
Yeah.
You know, our one of our mottos is, you know, to make every child a wanted child, and it's so important to us. So if we had more money, we would be able to increase the amount that we're able to give away, and I think we would in turn wind up helping more women with more dollars and obviously making a greater impact.
So is there anything that you want our listeners to do? You want them to donate money and anything else?
Yeah, vote.
Okay.
I just... You know I'm sort of preaching to the choir here. I'm guessing that anybody that's listening to this show is probably very active politically.
Yes.
But I encourage people to vote. And when I say that, so think about not just yourself, but think about your neighbors, think about your friends. And that's what I was talking before about, you know, telling stories. You know, even if you don't have your own story, you know, tell mine, you know. Go on our website and read some of the stories that are there. Tell those women's stories. And share these thoughts and share these ideas, and because the impact that politics has on this is so profound. You know, this is a medical procedure. Abortion is the most common surgical procedure in the United States.
Really?
There's over 1.2 million abortions performed annually in the United States. It is the most common surgical procedure. It's exceptionally safe. Anything you read about it, most of it's wrong. It's a very common, standard, safe. So, you know, the more that we can educate people, the more that we can let people know, and the more that people can understand what the role politics plays. You know, people jump up and down about Roe v. Wade, which they should. You know, it's important. It's an important thing to think about. But where the real harm is, it's in these smaller statutes, these state-by-state initiatives that are going on, the things that happened in Florida, like with the ultrasound bill, or a 24-hour waiting period, which we don't have in Florida yet. But, you know, if you look about what's going in the different 50 states and all these little bills, and, you know, people say, well, you know, that's reasonable. That's not so bad. It's not so bad if you can afford the ultrasound. It's not so bad if you can afford the extra day to take off because you have to go to the doctor on day one and then you have to go back on day two. Or, you know, in some states, the abortion provider could be a couple hundred miles away or more, or in the next state. So you have to go, you have to get the gas money to go to that doctor, go home, and then come back the next day. So that 24-hour wait becomes not just a minor inconvenience. It could be the thing that keeps that woman from having the abortion. And so when you think about it in those terms, you realize, wow, you know, what seems like such minor things, like, oh, well, let's, you know, give it to them so that we can fight the big fight. That's how they're winning. It's all these little things around the edges that seem reasonable that are just making things impossible. It's, you know, for people of means, it's not. So it's annoying. It's an inconvenience. It's something you can live with. Anybody that's living on the edge, it's beyond that. You know, these are life-altering things that are being done to them, and there's nothing they can do about it. But by our listeners that are here, by being educated, by being informed, and by telling your friends about it, that's one of the most powerful things that we can do.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Fran. Very, very interesting.
My pleasure.
You well for the good work that you're doing in helping women who need so much help.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, if you need, you know, help or anything, I'm sure we'll be able to, you know, make an announcement or something like that for you in the future.
Thank you so much.
Maybe you're having a barbecue or something. whatever you do to raise money. But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you to all the listeners for taking the time to listen. Thanks.
Okay, take
care.
Have
a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. So now, I see on my switchboard the famous numbers belonging to Madam Debbie Frazier. Are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Fine and dandy. Debbie is the president of the Straight and Gay Alliance and our next guest on Progressive News Network. And before, just I have to remember to thank our sponsors, which are Imagining Productions and the Media Goddess Worldwide. So just put that in there real quick. Anyway, so, Debbie, what's
yes,
shaking?
Ma'am. A lot, actually. We've been kind of busy out here.
Okay, well, tell me about the Straight and Gay Alliance. Not to be confused with the Gay Straight Alliance. I'm totally confused. Tell me the difference.
Okay, the Gay and Straight Alliance is basically a school-coordinated organization that is educating the kids in school. Straight and Gay Alliance is more of I won't say an adult, because there's a lot of kids that are probably more adult in school than some of the adults out here. But, so we are more out on in the public and politically, socially, spiritually. We're more out here in our neighborhoods and communities.
Okay, and are you a national organization? Are you a chapter of a national organization? Or what kind of an organization are you?
We are, right now, we had started as a nonprofit, but we kind of was a little limited at that. So now we're just incorporated. We are out here doing our own thing. We have funded ourselves up until recently, and we are looking to go out and do some fundraising, membership drives, and so forth.
Okay.
Because we're limited. Yeah.
Okay. Well, how did it start? How old is your organization? Wait, let me ask the first question that I should have asked. How old is your organization, and how did it start? Let's make sure I do it right.
It is actually, it's been in the works for a very long time, but we officially got together a year and a half ago. And I was driven out of, I was working in the 2010 campaigns and supporting the candidates that supported gay rights. And it wasn't really that popular then, and I could see that there was a little disconnect between the gay and straight. When I say gay and straight, meaning straight as heterosexual and gay as other, because that's pretty much how the laws are written, and that's pretty much how people, I think, seem to see it. So, I'm old school, so I like to say the gay community. After the campaigns, I was still, excited. And if you know anything about the campaigns, at the end of an election, it's dead. It's like Armageddon. So I decided to drive up to Don't Ask, Don't Tell in D.C. And
okay.
I thought there would be a rally or something up there, but there wasn't. But I got to sit in for the vote, and it was repealed, and I got excited.
And look, when Debbie gets excited.
Yeah,
this is, after all, a show called Women of Action.
That's right.
So you're the perfect person. What was it? Okay, you got excited because you saw that, but what, I mean, you could have done a lot of different things, I suppose. So this particular, why did you choose this particular thing?
Well, actually, having a daughter who is, 29 years old and growing up with a gay mother, it was hard for her. And I see the same thing going on this many years later, and it really bothers me. So I just, I felt like we needed to change it. So, we're not just the legal aspect of it. We are very involved in actually the black community. the women's rights community, the gay community. You know, we want to bring people together, and we want them to see us, you know, as their allies as well. So mm-hmm. that's pretty much, so we're involved in the community. I mean, you know, we went with the National Organization for Women and did the Rush Limbaugh. You know, we go to Planned Parenthood, you know, march in the anti-violence with the black mm-hmm. community. You know, we want to be a part of the community. It's not like we're just asking people to be a part of us.
Mm-hmm. Mickey, so basically you're fostering understanding.
Mickey?
Yes.
Hi, it's Heather. I'm on the phone with my mom. I just wanted to add to that a little bit, if that's okay.
Oh, okay. I was looking, waiting for you to call in, and I didn't see your number, and I thought, well, I guess Heather's not calling. Okay, Heather. This is Heather.
Hi.
This is Heather Fraser Smella. Shmala? I'm not sure if pronouncing it properly. Shmala, sorry.
Yeah.
And she is the vice president of the Straight and Gay Alliance.
So basically part of why we started the Straight and Gay Alliance is, you know, unfortunately, gay people are not always comfortable with being who they are and standing out for themselves, and because they have so much to lose. And that was one of the things, as a straight person, you know, I believe that everyone should have the same rights, whether my mom is gay or not. So, and I think a lot of straight people feel that way. So it's kind of standing up for your, you know, common man, your brother and sister. You know, if a straight person feels that it's right and that, you know, these things should be able to happen as far as the laws and things like that, then we're giving them an outlet to volunteer and let their voices be heard as well.
Absolutely.
That's good. Then.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's really, I mean, it always amazes me how anybody thinks they have the right to legislate somebody else's right to be happy. Who in the hell they say, well, you can get married, but you can't. You can't be happy, but you can. Who are they? What's them the right to do that? I mean, it's like a wife. I'm so jealous. You know how many gay friends I have that have married or with a partner for a million years? A lot. They are so committed to each other, and I'm so jealous. And it's like, why would you stop it? These people love each other. Why would you? Who the hell are you to say you can't do that? Get a life. It makes me furious.
And that's the thing. I'm recently married. I've actually been married for 6 months, and you know,
congratulations.
Getting married and going through that process is really, you know, kind of eye opening for me and my husband as well. You know that. We've been together 3 years. There are people out there who have been together 40 years, and they don't have the same right that we do, and that's what was so frustrating about everything, and it really put it into perspective that our love is not better than anyone else's.
Oh,
you know,
this country really is about, you know, liberty and justice for all. Either we're all free or none of us are. That's the bottom line.
Well, we like to say that we are the us of America. You know, the United States of America. But, you know, if we pick apart the differences that we have and, you know, not come together and our strengths, then, you know, who are we? You know, we've always tried to keep, you know, especially using the Bible to keep, you know, the injustice going. But, you know, thank God President Obama has stood up and, you know, has endorsed it. The NAACP has endorsed it.
I know. Isn't that the coolest thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. It's a very big deal, I think.
Well, but to us, though, Mickey, you know, we don't, you know, we're just not sitting behind a computer and sending out emails and, you know, whatever. We're actually, Heather and I, you know, whatever that may be, we are the face to a lot of people. I went to a Tea Party meeting and talked to a bunch of women, and they told me they'd never met a gay person before.
So, you're a brave soul. You're
all
a very brave soul.
Well they have. They just didn't
out.
Know it, and that's
well,
the problem.
Of course. Yeah. So, you know, we need to be out. You know, people need to know
absolutely.
That I'm a mom.
Absolutely.
And that
it's
Heather
not
has
a business,
gay mother.
But they, you do. I know. I really do.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah,
just people have these prejudices from a long time ago when people were even more ignorant than they are today, which is hard to believe, but, you know, and it just needs to go right in their face and go, hello, tell me the difference.
Well, and a lot of people, you know, just like anything else, it's a learned behavior. You know, so this is like generations of, you know, hatred and using the Bible and, you know, and
absolutely.
It
have to taught.
But we need to counter it, you know, and we need, I think we need to do it in a loving way, you know, and that's what, you know, we're, like I said, we're out there. And that's the whole point of what we do is we really are trying to get people to realize that, you know, hey, you know, we're your teachers, your firefighters, you know, your moms, your dads, your grandparents. You know, we are you.
Absolutely.
And when my mom went up to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, she was actually in front of the White House, and the Westboro Baptist Church was there, and there was, she had an altercation with a young boy. How old is he, Mom? Like
11.
9 years old, someday 11. And, you know, I hate you. God hates fags, God whatever. And the problem with that is that a child that young does
has
not know
hate. Taught that.
Yeah, they're taught that. But he,
absolutely.
You know, he had no time to form his own opinions
or
even
he
feel
was
that inside of him. And that's what's so frustrating. So, you know, I think we spend, and I say we as the gay community because I am as much part of it as anyone else, I feel like. I grew up in it and it's my home. So I think we need to be on the offensive instead of constantly on the defensive. You know, we're constantly defending ourselves and saying, well, no, we're not that bad, and no, we really do, you know, love, and we really do these things, and it's unfortunate because it's hard to always defend yourself. So I think that's kind of what we're trying to do is be, you know, on the offensive and say, this is, you know, this is what we do instead of having to, like, have a rebuttal against someone else. So if you
well,
can make
when...
a good example...
Absolutely.
Then you don't,
from,
have to, you don't have to come back from that.
I just had a thought, and that is when the Miami Dolphins were world champions a million years ago, I learned this phrase, best defense is a good offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I never forgot that. I am not particularly athletic or sports-minded, but I certainly, everybody was mesmerized by the Dolphins winning every single game, and that's what I learned. You know, the best defense, a good offense, and and I've noticed as I've gotten older, oh, that's what it meant. So you're right on the money. That's really good. So what do you have, a website you want people to go to? Is there anything you want people to do?
Well, actually, we do have a website. It's the straightandgayalliance.org. And we are also on Facebook, which we haven't really promoted because we've been pretty busy. But we also locally we have meetup.com. And it's meetup.com.
When you say locally, you're talking about Palm Beach County?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That is
County local. Okay.
Yeah, and it's meetup.com, and you can join for free. You know, and you can be involved in everything that we do. You can watch us, you know, but I would love for everyone to, I mean, now is the time. If there is ever a time, right now is it. And don't think that, you know, it may be the easiest time, but hey, you know, we don't
this
look for
this is the moment.
Time. Yep.
As soon as I got the news that Obama came out and endorsed gay marriage, I said to my mother, I said, this is going to be a very interesting summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we all do, you know, whether we're for gay rights or we're, you know, for women's rights or for whatever, this summer is going to be one that goes down in history. This is a very, very, very important political time. And everything that happens from here on out is going to write the course of history, I feel like, especially for gay rights.
Exactly.
Well, we're just kind of breaking
summer.
Through one barrier after another, and I think it's high time. We've all been waiting for a long time for this stuff to happen, and it couldn't happen fast enough for me. So
thank you so much for being involved, because you are not one of our champions, too.
Well, thanks. I'm one of those people that sits at the computer and does.
Hey, that's okay, because I can't do that. You know, I'm more of the out in the dancing in the streets and whatever, but, you know, we
yeah,
literally
yeah, well, it's hard
all
to do with flash and things like that. It just really is.
Yeah, but we do. We need all the help, and please, your listeners, please help us. You know, we're having a membership drive. What is it, Heather, June 24th?
June 24th, yeah, at the cottage in Lake Worth.
Yeah, and we've never
at
done
at the cottage?
Anything.
Yeah.
We, no,
are you
know,
having
have
a disco drive or what? I mean, the cottage is
well,
a restaurant, yes?
It's actually they have on Sunday evenings they have what some of you may know as the tea dance, which is basically just a gathering of gay people to, you know, socialize and whatever, and it's usually in the early afternoon or the early evening, and just to have fun. And so it's going to be that. Plus, it happens to be my mother's birthday that weekend. So
oh, wow.
It's a good way to kind of couple everything together.
It's my second anniversary of being 50.
Well, and I understand that completely.
Yeah, so basically, we have funded everything ourselves, and, you know, unfortunately, we could do a lot more. if we did have more, you know, because we're getting so much more involved, you know, and
right,
little things like going to luncheons and, you know, it seems to add up, you know, and you know, that's, but
yeah,
that's what
we have to read your profile, you know, later on some other time we can go over your plan of action. I'll help you a little bit with some little counseling there maybe, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. So one more time, your big party, I should have written it down and applied. Your party is June
24th.
June 24th. At what time?
Well, we're working on that. It should, but we'll have.
Oh, you don't know yet. Okay, it's
yeah.
June 24th, and it'll be at the cottage in downtown Lake Worth.
And Jeff, Heather's husband is playing. He's in a band, and we're also going to have a drag queen.
Okay. Rock and roll. So you will have it on their Meet page, people to look and see particulars or stuff like that.
We'll have it on the Meetup, and we'll have it on the Facebook.
And the Facebook page. Okay, so if they want to look it up, it's just the Straight, Gay, and Gay Alliance on Facebook, or the Straight and Gay Alliance on Meetup.
Correct.
Yes? Okay. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for the work you're doing to foster better understanding and compassion amongst all human beings. And thank you for joining us on the Progressive News Network.
All right. Appreciate your time.
Take care.
All right. Bye, Matt.
Bye-bye. Now I think we have another busy lady on the line.
Hello.
Trish.
How are you?
Are you there? Hello. This is the non-GMO girl herself, Trish Sheldon. And she,
how are you, Ricky?
I'm very good. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
You have so many things going on. I don't know if we have enough time to fit it all in, but we'll just take a shot here. So I'm not wasting any time. I'm like,
I know,
my God,
exactly.
Let's stop all that. So
there's a lot.
Yeah. So pick the most. I mean, let's start with this. I mean, we know you're a singer musician. We talked about that later if we have a minute, but what you, I mean, you're starting, it's a new organization or a new website, GMO Free Florida. Tell me about that.
Well, sure, yeah. You know, we've been running the Millions Against Monsanto Facebook page for Florida, and GMO Free Florida as a Facebook page and social media has been really good for us, but we've decided to take the plunge, and my team has helped me to create our webpage, which is gmofreeflorida.com. And so we're excited because that can help us reach another market. And where our goal really is, we're starting to work on a labeling initiative across the state of Florida. So we need a lot of help, a lot of volunteers in each city in Florida. And just like California, they're working on it from a petition level. Recently with Vermont, they've had some backlash from Monsanto Direct, with rumors of threatening to sue them should they pass a labeling initiative. So we figure we better work at this smart and from a standpoint of labeling and petitioning, and as well, you know, maybe even, 10th Amendment level. So kind of to cover our bases, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have some lawyers around to make sure that the wording is just so it'll make it harder for them to sue if they get so inclined.
Well, right now, you know, we have no labeling, none whatsoever. And so, you know, we're eating these things at three meals every day and don't even realize it. And so the important.
So just now for the people like me that are, I had to think about GMO means genetically modified.
Organism.
Organisms. Okay.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, oh, it sounds yummy. I just feel a white worm squirming around.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they are viruses and bacteria that are used as active ingredients. It could be E. coli. It could be some form of anthrax. It could be any form of a virus. So what happens is when you take a virus and a bacteria and you shoot it into the seed of a plant to change the properties, you're actually completely changing the structure of the DNA. And you can't really be sure how it's going to play out every time. You know, so, but the thing about this is just the process of genetic modification is what's so inherently dangerous. And, you know, for example, you know, we're seeing animal studies that are showing allergies. We're showing infertility, you know, immune problems, accelerated aging, faulty insulin, you know, changes in the major organs, sometimes kidney failure, organ failure. And we're seeing death, you know, on some of these animals that graze on the BT cotton in India just from eating the plant alone. You know?
Oh, boy.
And so there's no real human safety feeding studies done except for their own in-house studies. And if you want to correlate, since GMOs came into play in about 96 for the United States, we've seen a huge skyrocket of ADD, autism, allergies, really bad now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not an accident, and I don't know why. Well, I can guess, but I can't prove that why no one said anything about it. It wasn't there before. It is new.
Right. Right. And not only are we having problems, but, you know, there are some suggestions that show that the bees are also the colony collapse disorder may be related, not only from the pesticide standpoint, but also because this pollen is new and different, and it has its own pesticide within the pollen. So it's called Bacillus thuringiensis, if I'm saying that correctly.
Easy for you to say.
Right. So BT toxin is what it's called. But, you know, so there are just so many issues. I mean, the farmers have to pay royalties on seeds.
That's sick.
Right. So, and we're losing biodiversity of seeds. You know, Monsanto owns about 90% of the world's seed supply, apparently. So, you know, you just don't know what you're getting these days. And when the American Academy of Medicine, Environmental Medicine, is saying we advise people not to eat GMOs, you know, you kind of got to listen, you know. And when the in-house science is done only by the in-house scientists, you know, you just can't guarantee there's any safety there at all. And so we are guinea pigs in America. 50 countries ban or label these foods, mandatory labeling. So, you know, we're one that does not. And look at our obesity, look at our diabetes and cancer rate, look at how unhealthy we are.
Unbelievable. And it wasn't always that way. I know it wasn't. I mean,
No. It's very different
supply
now.
I don't know. I don't ever, when I was a little girl, I don't remember dogs get cancer.
Dogs are getting cancer left and right. And what's the number one, look in their food supply, GMO corn, soy, subsidy crops. You know, look at what they're eating. And, you know, so absolutely. You know, if we look at our animals, they are very telling.
Outrageous.
Exactly. So basically, you know, what can we do? We can avoid GMOs, of course, by buying organic or avoiding the major crops that are in, you know, 86% of all of our grocery store foods, you know, corn, maltodextrin, soy, unless it's organic. And even then, some people avoid it, you know. But there's the non-GMO project. Look for the non-GMO project label because even Snyder's has it now. So that's verified, non-GMO. It may have pesticides, but it's not going to have a genetically modified organism in there. And what's happening is there was a great study out by Don Huber, and it's you can research it by looking up Don Huber's warning. And what it's showing is that these crops are failing. And not only that, but we're creating new virus and bacteria-like organisms that are actually living within our own intestines and replicating. Quite potentially, they could be replicating the pesticides that their own plants are producing. Right. So the thing is, well, if most disease or much disease starts because of inflammation in the intestines and in the gut, okay, then, well, one could easily make the correlation that, wow, okay, well, if you're changing your gut flora, you know, then, you know, it could potentially be, you could be making your own pesticides within your own body for the rest of your life. We just don't know. And the reason it's a problem, you know, we have the FDA on board with the biotech industry. We have our Secretary Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture from Monsanto. We have our food and safety czar at the FDA, also from Monsanto.
Thing. That is so weird. That's like, how did that happen?
How did that happen? Money. If there is a revolving door between Monsanto, the EPA, the FDA, and our government. And, you know, it's a lot. There's a lot of money being paid to a lot of people. So, unfortunately, the money speaks, and we continue to get more and more sick. And, you know, so we're fighting hard for labeling because we feel that if we can get this labeled, 9 out of 10 people, when polled, state that they do not want to eat a genetically modified organism. And so if at least, you know, people are reading labels more these days than ever. However, they're avoiding the wrong things in some cases, you know. So if we could at least know that this has a genetically modified organism in it, then we'll be less apt to purchase it, and we can create a tipping point. And that's the goal. If we can get about 5% of the people to avoid these foods, and the companies that carry these foods, General Mills, Kraft, Coca-Cola, Mars, M&M, you know, because it's our sugar. And maybe that's another thing I should bring up. You know, what are the crops? You know, it's not just the corn and the soy. It's the sugar beets, which is in much of our sugar supply. You know, it's papaya from Hawaii. It's some zucchini and crookneck squash. You know,
really?
A lot of,
I like crookneck squash.
Just buy organic. Or, you know, that's what I would do. Is buy papaya and crookneck squash organic. And because you just don't know.
Don't know. Oh, boy, that boils my fun.
But our children in these breakfast cereals are eating it every day, okay? And the RBGH and RBST, which are the growth hormones in the milk, okay? So we remember way back when Ben and Jerry's said, we're probably not carrying RBGH or RBST. And sure enough, they got sued. We had, you know, a lot of backlash. But, you know,
but they can take it.
I'm sorry?
They're big enough. They can take it. They're big enough and,
yeah,
and they're tough enough.
Sure.
The they little guys maybe not, but Ben and Jerry's could stand up to that. That's, you know,
and
I
they
think
did.
They're
they did.
Good guys.
Yeah.
What, so what foods now? Well, I'm just now, okay. Oh, wow. I have so many questions. We don't have a whole lot of time. So what? First of all, what should our listeners do? What actions can they take to help with this?
Well, oh, there's
movement?
So many things here. Okay. So the first thing is, you know, it'd be really great. Can you support the Institute for Responsible Technology or the Organic Consumer Association? They need all the funds they can get. And right now we have a huge money bomb happening in California because based on the legislation in Vermont not passing because of Monsanto's red tape, one of the rules in Vermont passing a labeling initiative states that if California can get it on the ballots, and only when California can get it on the ballots, a labeling initiative is what I'm saying, then perhaps a year later, then Vermont may follow suit. So there's just a lot of red tape. So there's a money bomb happening in California. If we can get California labeled and have mandatory labeling, that paves the way for the rest of our states to get mandatory labeling. So please support the Organic Consumer Association money bomb for getting labeling. Then we run GMO Free Florida. You can sign up to info@GMOFreeFlorida and let us know. Do you want to donate? Would you like to become a team leader in your area? We need team leaders in every city across the state. So, and then we need those team leaders to also have their crew to help with the petitioning efforts. So sign up, join us on Facebook at Millions Against Monsanto Florida Chapter, and we're just getting everyone connected, you know, so we can make this happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the thing there. You know, buy organic when you can, especially if it's a grain, you know, or a cereal product. Read the labels, you know. If it says corn, soy, maltodextrin, high fructose corn syrup, you know, these are all the snacked and packaged goods on your grocery shelf, like Doritos, okay, and Lay's. You could get about 5 or 6 GMOs in one bag, different kinds of GMOs, with the soy oil and the canola oil. That's another one. So here are the crops. The 8 major crops are corn, soybeans, canola, cottonseed, sugar beets, Hawaiian papaya, and a small amount of zucchini and crookneck squash. As well, alfalfa now has just been deregulated. So basically, you know, we're feeding, all these crops are being fed to our livestock, and in turn we eat. So that's another thing, you know. So it's a lot.
I'm not a scientist,
and
this is obvious to me. I don't know why it's not obvious to people that are in charge.
They just don't, well, that's, I can't. Enough of us petition, enough we get millions of signatures, you know, and I know of a handful of people that write daily to our legislatures, you know, it's just the money speaks, apparently, and unfortunately, you know, us, if we can avoid and stop supporting these companies that carry these foods, then we can create the tipping point, and it's, and we're seeing more and more people aware, which is amazing. We're using social media. But, you know, there's also another problem that just happened today or yesterday. We have our president who's now just announced a plan of $3 billion in private investments for, quote-unquote, poverty relieving in Africa. And part of this is about using subsidy crops, you know, and biotechnology. So... You know, where we're gaining ground in some aspects, we just lost with this because we're trying to push a monoculture and biotech farming on these poor farmers, indigenous farmers of Africa. That's not going to help the situation, you know, especially when the science is showing these crops are starting to fail. But that is a falsehood that people in the biotech industry are spreading, that these crops can feed the world and do feed the world, and they don't. It is a fallacy. And... So unfortunately, this President Obama himself is creating an issue because we're taking away their traditional farming methods, and we think this will make a dire situation even worse.
Wow!
You know, the small farmers can't compete with big agriculture. You know?
Yeah. That's very complicated. It's very complicated. I'm happy to say I don't buy most of the stuff you were talking about, so I'm happy about that. My mom whines. I don't let her buy corn.
Good. No, you know what?
No corn.
Especially because now corn also, not only is it in the subsidy crops, it is used for all these packaged processed goods, but now we have, you know, Monsanto's new sweet corn, and it's straight to your shelf. I mean, straight to your table, you know, the genetically modified sweet corn, which is registered as an insecticide. So every bite
special.
You know,
yeah, no, we won't buy no corn on the cob, no nothing, no corn, just don't.
But that's another thing that we can do. Talk to our grocers, let them know that we won't buy it, especially Walmart. You know, we've had huge petitions, Food and Water Watch, Friends of the Earth, and
do you work with Slow
you know,
Foods?
I'm sorry?
Do you work with Slow Foods?
Slow Foods?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I recommend them. You know, they've come on the GMO bandwagon as well over
good.
The last few years, which is awesome. And but you know,
Trish,
we don't do events.
I'm sorry. We have 20 seconds.
Thank you. www.gmofreeflorida.com. Please sign up find us on Facebook, Millions Against Monsanto Florida Chapter, and GMO Free Florida on Facebook as well. Please sign
Thank
up.
Thank you.
Please make an effort. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. I think all the Thanks a lot, Trish.
Yep. Okay, Nikki, so you can call me anytime, and if you have
I
any
will.
Questions or anything.
I will.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks so much. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.